As we continue our study of the Gospel of Matthew today, may I remind you that we are discussing with you the story of the rich young ruler and the question concerning eternal life. The question posed by the rich young ruler, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" is one of a number of questions that we will be considering as we travel with the Lord Jesus Christ on the way to Jerusalem. Time does not permit us to go back over what we have already said concerning the story of the rich young ruler, other than to emphasize that the Lord Jesus Christ said there was one thing standing in the way of this man coming to Christ. He had something more important in his life than Christ. In his case, it happened to be riches. And riches are not evil in themselves. The Bible says that the love of money, is the root of all evil. The Bible says that individuals who will to be rich, not individuals who are rich, or not individuals who become rich, but individuals who will, who are determined no matter what the cost to be rich, those individuals fall into many foolish and hurtful snares which condemn them to a life without Christ. But that need not be. What the Lord Jesus Christ said was, it will be difficult for a man who has riches as the center of his life to give up those riches and to give God first place. Well, we have one more thing to say concerning this very interesting story, and that was the reaction of the disciples to what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "How hardly shall a rich man enter into eternal life?" How difficult it is. And the disciples, we read in verse 25, heard it. They were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" Why, they said, "Here's a man that you yourself said was nearly perfect, and he can't be saved. Who then can be saved?" You see, they were not so surprised that this rich man went away, but they said to Jesus, "If you cannot be saved by doing good, and if you cannot be saved by helping others, who then can be saved?" The Holy Spirit of God writes, and this is interesting to me, that these disciples were exceedingly amazed. The phrase "exceedingly amazed" is the translation of the Greek word ekpleso, which means very literally "struck out" or "struck dumb." They were speechless. Here they had been watching this incident, listening to the conversation with bated breath. What is Christ going to tell him? And when they heard the final word, they were struck out. They were struck dumb, and they said, "Well, it's hopeless. Nobody can be saved." Now, what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Look at verse 29, or 26, rather. The Lord Jesus Christ beheld them. That means he looked into their hearts, really. And he said unto them, "With men this is impossible, with God all things are possible." "Yes," said Jesus, "it is impossible for man to save himself, but it's not impossible with God." Actually, there's a play on words here. Impossible with men, possible with God. In the original text, the word impossible is the word adunatus, which is translated by the English words "no power." And the word possible is the translation of the Greek word dunatus, which is translated by the English word power. I think that's where the thrust really needs to be in relation to eternal life. Man has no power to acquire eternal life. The question was, what can I do to acquire eternal life? Man, it does not lie in your power to acquire eternal life. Well then, who can be saved? What man can save himself? No man can save himself, but God can save him. Where man does not have the power, God does. Oh, keep that in mind. How can man be saved? If he's not to do anything, how can he be saved? Well, look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 21. We've looked at it before. Let us look at it again. Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. What is it the Lord Jesus Christ was saying? No, he wasn't saying be saved by selling all that you have. He says if you want to complete the picture of the commandments, get rid of what you have. And then, in a completely new sentence, which isn't evident in our English text, with a complete new emphasis, he says, come, come. You know, you should stop right there. You do not acquire eternal life, Jesus said. The thing that's keeping you from being perfect in the area of your search is your riches. Get rid of your riches. Come. Do you know that that little word, come, embraces the only invitation that the Lord Jesus Christ has ever given anyone, the only demand that the Lord Jesus Christ has ever made? He has never said, after you get all straightened up and straightened out, come to me. My, that's what a lot of folk think, and it makes it very difficult, doesn't it? Because we can't get straightened up and straightened out on our own strength. No, his invitation isn't, after you get all straightened up and straightened out, come. His invitation is, come. And the promise is, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. If you are without the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've been wondering how you might be saved, and you've been wondering what good thing you could do to be saved, and you've been wondering if perchance there is something that will make God feel a little bit better about you, lay all of that aside and come. Oh, you may say, that's right. As soon as I can get to church and hear an invitation hymn and walk down the aisle, I'll come to church. I'll come to Christ. Well, friend, there's nothing wrong with walking down the aisle. It's just a method of man to give an invitation. It isn't in the Word of God. There's nothing in the Bible says that you have to walk down an aisle to be saved. As a matter of fact, I hope you'll understand the spirit in which I say this. I think sometimes it's a great hindrance to people, for they think walking down the aisle has some merit in its own, and it doesn't. No, right where you are today, wherever you are, in your car, on your feet, in your bed, in your chair, wherever you are, right now, if you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. You don't have to wait till you get to church to walk down the aisle. Oh, true, because you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will want to tell others about it, and you will want to share, and you will want to make public confession. But you're already saved the moment you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Will you look again with me at verse 21 and notice the manner in which I read the verse? The Lord Jesus Christ said to the rich man, If you want to make the story concerning commandments complete, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. If you want to know how to acquire eternal life, come to me. It is my free gift. There's a completely new thrust now. Following that invitation, come, follow me. You see, the way this is written and the way folk sometimes carelessly read it, they get the idea that you follow Jesus in order to be saved. Well, if you did that, you'd never be saved. But after you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, after you have acquired eternal life in the sense in which the man asked the question, then there is a demand which the Spirit of God makes upon you as a believer. If you have received eternal life, then that demand is, follow me. There are 12 words in Greek that could be translated by our English word follow, but the Holy Spirit very wisely chose this particular word, akolotheo. The word akolotheo is made up of two words, the prefix a, which means the same, and the Greek word kolotheo, which means way. What is Jesus saying? You come to me. Salvation is yours the moment you receive me. There's only one requirement to be followed after you come to Christ, said Jesus, and that is, be in the same way. We call it fellowship. We as Christians have made a great list of things that we should do and we should not do, and because we've made that list, we've been inclined to insist that everyone observe the same things we do, and if they're not doing the things we do, or if they do things we don't do, then we say they are in or out of fellowship. But that isn't what the Bible said. The Bible said, walk in the light, as He is in the light, and you have fellowship one with another, with Him and with all other believers. Walk in the same way, the demand which the Lord Jesus Christ made of this rich young ruler was, follow me, walk in the same way that I walk, footsteps of Jesus, not so much walking behind him, but walking with him. Let me ask you two questions today. One, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you possess eternal life? You may, if you don't, simply receive Him as your Savior. As we have emphasized to you before, 1 John 1, or rather the Gospel of John 1:12. As many as receive Him, to them gives He the power, the right, the authority to be called the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. And you can't make anything more or less out of that. Come to Him, believe that He died for your sins, receive Him as your Savior, then you have eternal life. Now my second question is, if you have come to Him, and you do possess eternal life, are you following Him? Oh, you say, I'm following afar off. No, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, are you walking in the same way? Very literally, are you in step with Jesus? One of the best ways I know to examine your life and your relationship to God through Christ is to discover if you're in step. A lot of folk are out of step. I'm not talking about being out of step with other people. That's what a lot of people worry about. I'm talking about being out of step with Jesus. That's what we ought to worry about today. So I ask you, are you walking in the same way that He walks? I hope you are.